Alrighty, you guys, I am Seven Murdoch, your host of the SevCell Show, coming back to you guys again with Chris Frankmont, Guaranteed Rate. You do know where to look, Chris. There you go. That was just a cute smile.
I wanted to see the whole thing.
Yeah, right? You guys, thank you so much for tuning again to the SevCell Show. Today, I want to go ahead and chat with you a little bit about impossible clients here with Chris. And this one's really coming from the heart right now. I think that we've all had impossible clients to work with, no matter what industry you're in. Real estate, I think, is a little bit more finicky because there's so many hands in the pot all the time and the transactions are much, much larger. But long and short, and Chris, if you work with a really, really difficult client, right? Just impossible to please. Are you going to work with them again?
You know, it's tough, Sev. We definitely get those a lot. I tell my team, I've always said that 10% of our people are going to take 90% of our time. It just seems to ring true that we can dial things in, we can have good systems and processes, and most people can flow through the system really easily and get a loan done with minimal stress or headache. Right. But we're going to have that 10% that either it's a complicated situation or they make it complicated, which is kind of what you're getting at.
And I'm all for a complicated transaction. Like, I love them, right? It's a learning experience for everyone involved. I think it challenges everyone as a whole and gives you the opportunity to prove yourself and be better than you were walking into it. But having a client that goes out of their way to create problems where there just simply are not any problems is not a client I think anyone really wants to have, you know, or go above and beyond for. And I think that we all know we can't be more motivated than our client.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's tough. You get those clients and they do, they'll suck your time up and they'll create, like you said, create mountains out of molehills and create challenges where they don't need to be. And it definitely makes all of our jobs harder. And you know, unfortunately, sometimes those people, then there's a little bit of overflow effect where they're sucking your time and energy and creating challenges. Then you don't have as much time for the people that are being wonderful and wanting to be there for you. So
you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, oh my gosh,
did I do this? I know. Yeah. So we get it a lot. You know, for us, although we get people all over, the biggest challenge or what makes it difficult for us is just not being responsive, not getting us stuff in a timely manner.
That is
the biggest thing that creates challenges because there's a lot of hurry up and wait in mortgages. We get everything we need, we prep it, we send it to the underwriter, we got to wait till they review it. Comes back out, we get all our conditions, we prep it,
well,
we got to get it back in line.
That queue can be like 3 to 5 days.
When things are busy, right? It can. You know, we really, GR always tries to stay 24 hours or less. Right now, we're at like an hour turn times, which is awesome.
I know. That's
things are
good.
Coming out of underwriting within a few hours, so that's phenomenal. Definitely helps, especially with those types of clients.
Yeah.
But there's times where, yeah, absolutely, we don't all know. It's impossible to perfectly staff operations for the ebbs and flows of this business. I mean, if rates all of a sudden shoot down for a week and we get a couple more, get refis coming in or a bunch of people going under contract, and it happens across the company, well, suddenly if the volume across the company doubles, we can't maintain a couple hours. It's going to be a few days. And then when that happens and you've got clients that aren't responsive, that aren't getting you stuff, it creates a lot of stress and challenges for everyone involved. And I don't think they realize how their simple procrastination or simple lack of responsiveness
can screw them.
And can also just create stress for all of us too. You know, I think they see it as they're just affecting themselves sometimes and whatever, but they're not. They're making things more stressful for you, for us, for our teams. And
for the title company.
For the sellers, for the listing agents.
There's so many people.
Absolutely.
There's so many people. So I know that a condition of lending most of the time is going to be insurance. Right?
Yep.
It's insurability, right? We've got to have insurance on the property, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to give you a little background here because I'm a little fired up today, Chris.
Oh, you got a fresh one. Let's hear it.
I got a fresh one. So I'm going to give you a little background and then I want to hear your standpoint on this as a lender, okay?
Got it.
So my client purchases this property off market. It's a for sale by owner, and they definitely shot themselves in the foot going for sale by owner off market, as most for sale by owners usually do.
Right.
They got almost $100,000 less for the property.
Good thing they saved that 6%.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's so true, man. But anyways, you know, and my client still had them do, like, he still did an inspection and everything else, had him satisfy just about darn near everything on that inspection report. Okay. Minus, you know, fixing a small issue with the septic system, which was like $3,000. And for a septic system, like if you have a problem with the septic system, that's usually like $40,000. Yeah. So a $3,000 fix on a septic system is literally nothing. And he did not have them fix the roof, which is, you know, riddled with hail damage on the house, on the detached garage, and on the shed for the property. Anyways, so he goes to sell the property for literally $100,000 more the next day. Fixed the septic issue that was $3,000, did not address anything for the roofs on the property mm-hmm. at all. All right. This home is also a modular. Okay. So that adds kind of another level to the layer of tiers in most transactions, especially if you're FHA or VA.
So I'm going to make you clarify for me. Is it modular or is it manufactured? Unfortunately, modular gets used often.
It's manufactured. Okay. It's manufactured.
Well, I hate it. Even El Paso County, yep. I need to learn why. But even the assessor, you go on and it says modular and it's really manufactured. For lending, I hate the overlap of terms. We yep. see it a lot. That yep. Between that's lending true. And real estate and title, there's like the same terms and they'll mean different things and it can be frustrating. But this is one that's kind of a bugaboo for me because for us, modular is the kit homes that are assembled there. Those get treated like a stick built single family
right.
house.
Right.
And those manufactured don't. So that's this not one's on brought you, out but on I just a trailer. Had to clarify for my
right.
own sake.
No, but let's clarify for our listeners, right? The difference absolutely. Between modular and
Manufactured.
What are they?
Yep. So manufactured home is manufactured at essentially a factory. It's put on a trailer. It's driven out to the location and it's dropped down there. Now, at that point, it's a mobile home.
Correct.
Until it's actually affixed to a permanent foundation.
Which we call the process of purging.
Yep. Fixed to a permanent foundation. You purge the title to make it real property. And now it's officially affixed there and is a manufactured home.
Yep.
A modular home, the pieces get shipped out to the site. Like, I mean, whole wall of the house.
Like, you know, a Lego set.
Yeah, seriously, like a big Lego set. All these pieces show up, they get assembled on site and attached to foundation, and that house is actually treated like a single family home for lending purposes.
Right, 100%. Anyways, so he buys this property. He doesn't do anything about the roof. He fixed the small thing on the septic system, but then he goes and he lists it like the next day for, you know, over $100,000 more. And more power to him. However, he's had three offers now, okay? So we were under contract at $15,000 over asking, all right?
Okay.
And the buyers, you know, had their inspection, and they even worked off from his inspection report that he had from when he got the place, right, to just save time and pre-negotiate everything and, you know, rocking yep. and rolling, good to go. Got a roofing quote from their roofer to have the roof replaced because they cannot get insurance correct. On this property, right? It is riddled with hail damage. No company is going to insure that. And if they do, they're going to say, hey, you have to replace this roof by X date, right?
So quick clarification, did the buyer originally buy it with cash or hard money so he didn't have to worry about the insurance?
My seller bought it with his own cash.
Got it.
Yep, yep. Perfect. So, I mean, he's not paying any, like, you know, points or hard money fees or monthly interest or
anything. I just assumed so because at first I was thinking if he did get a loan, how did he close with that?
Right.
Right. He couldn't have got it insured.
Well, and
so.
he does have insurance on the property. Right. It is insured.
But he can't make a roof claim.
It's under
it was
a short-term kind of flip investor insurance policy. So if you were to get a standard insurance policy, they'd send the insurance company out there and go, hold on, Bessie.
Right.
You got to replace this whole roof, right? And that's something that he's not necessarily understanding right now. But anyways, first offer is $15,000 over asking, you know, and really like the list price, he wanted $10,000 less than that, and that would make him happy, okay? Okay. So he's already rocking and rolling away. Well, anyways, they come back and they're like, hey, we need a credit or something, you know, to this roofing company. That way you can pay to replace the roof, you know, because why would you buy a house with a shot roof? Does right. anyone want to buy a right. house with a shot roof?
Right.
I mean, I am the idiot that has done that, and I literally just did it again, but I'm...
I did it too on a foreclosure, but I knew right. when I placed the roof right. day one, and right. yeah, absolutely.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'm like budgeting that in, right. you know, and I think that we have more means and capabilities and connections with contractors than right. your average
yeah,
Joe
an average
would.
Buyer does not want to buy a house with a master roof.
No, absolutely. No, absolutely not. You got to be an idiot like me. To do that. But anyways, so they come back and the quote for the house, the detached garage and the shed it's just over $11,000, which is nothing.
Nice.
When it, I know,
15
right?
15 over asking, 11 for the roof.
He's
you're
still,
coming out $4,000
ahead. I know. I'm like, this is a great deal. He's like, well, I'll only pay for the roof on the main house. right? He is that guy, right?
He's got to win somehow.
He has to win, right? Working with the client that has to win is your biggest nightmare, right? And just background on this client, like very successful serial entrepreneur, right? So he's used to winning.
Right.
Anyways, they walk, all right? So he calls me and he's like, how can I sue him? Like, they got out of the contract. Like, what do I get for taking my property off the market? I mean, he's losing his mind. He's talking about lawsuits.
Oh,
he won't sign their earnest money release. I'm like, hey, bruh, you really got to sign.
Let's go back and read the contract.
I'm like, if you don't sign that, you could get in big trouble. But, you know, he's like, I'll put my own head on the guillotine to bite yours off, baby. Yeah, I mean, it is one of those deals. Anyways, so that falls through. All right, we go back on the market. We have only had two showings over the past several days, right? Oof. Okay. We've only had two showings over the past several days. One of them brought us an offer at asking price, okay? And I let the agent know, an agent that is a very good, reputable agent I've worked with a lot before, let the agent know we, you know, might need to talk about the roof. Right. So she has her roofer go out. She's like, you know, it's probably a $500 or less repair, you know, for some, you know, just adding granule to the roof. I've done this on a lot of different roofs for my clients and, you know, buyers, sellers alike. My roofer is amazing. So I'll have him go out there and just confirm that that's what we can do because that's what it sounds like. And I'm like, you know what? If that's an option, I love that option. I think that that's the best option, right? Because I know I'm over here going, my seller's not going to do this, right?
Been down this road.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so roofer comes back and he's like, yeah, unfortunately, they literally all need to be replaced. Anyway, so he comes back with a quote that is $7,000 for all three of the roofs in comparison.
Probably about what the main one was going to be on the first
quote. On the initial quote, yeah. The initial quote was $6,007 for the initial quote on just the roof of the main house. So his total quote for the roof on the main house, the roof on the garage, and the roof on the shed is $7,000. I'm over here going, wow, what a win, you know, like you can still sell your house. I mean, you're almost saving double, you know, like that's amazing, right? So I go to my client and he's like, well, if they want to come up in purchase price, you know, the $7,000 or whatever, then I'll go ahead and I'll cut the check to the contractor. Well, that poses a lot of problems, right? Because we have the appraisal that still needs to happen, right? So will the property appraise at that new contract price with the $7,000 going to the new roofer, and this borrower also needs $5,000 of seller concessions to help cover their closing costs, which, by the way, seller concessions are a phenomenal opportunity for absolutely any borrower, especially if you're a little short on cash, or even if you can just get them to save yourself some cash. Like, that's a phenomenal opportunity. Anyways.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, offering a little bit more for that, we always encourage it. I mean, you know, when you really look at how it affects you financially in the long term, I believe you're far better off. I mean, in general, you offer $5,000 higher to get $5,000 from the seller in closing costs.
Bingo.
When it's possible.
It's like 10, it's 10 bucks a month.
Increase your payment. It's about $4 to $5 per thousand. So at $5,000, you're talking $20 to $25 a month on your payment, but you're saving $5,000 right then and there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a long time to get your money back.
And
200
let's be
months
honest,
to get
will
your money
you
back.
Ever pay your mortgage off? Like, do right. most people ever pay that 30-year mortgage off?
Not usually.
Not in this generation.
So if, you know, you put that, if you think about it in that sense, you put the $5,000 that you just saved in a bank account, you can pay that extra $25 a month for literally like 16, 17 years.
Right.
If you weren't making money on it. So it really is a good, and we're starting to see them come back. We really couldn't get much money from the sellers in this hot market for a long, long time, but lately we've seen it happen again a few times. So hopefully, maybe it's coming back that's an option again.
So my seller, you know, tells me to go back to the buyer's agent and say, well, we'll give you $3,000 for the roof. And the buyer's like, yeah, but we just got you this quote that's literally half the price of your other quote. And we disclosed this quote to you, right? Like they could have worked off from the original quote and said, absolutely not, you know? Like they could have leveraged that and got even more than they needed to get out of it, potentially, if my seller was more amicable about everything.
Right.
But my seller's like, well, if they want anything else, they can come up in purchase price.
Geez.
Okay? And they can add money to their loan. And potentially we might run into an appraisal issue at that point, right?
Yep. Yeah, you definitely can. The appraisers are going to get on the roof and inspect it. If it's clear from the ground that there's an issue, or if it's in the NMLS or anything, then you can definitely get popped for that. And if that happens,
but if we go from 365 to 371 or whatever, I mean, we might have like a couple $1,000 discrepancy in the appraisal.
Yeah, absolutely. You could. Know? I mean, appraisers see that. They're going to see the contract. They're going to see the amend. Right. They're not going to know. And it's very possible they could come in low for that reason. Absolutely.
100%. So anyways, I'm looking at this going, do you want to sell your house, right? Because even if you were to just pay for the roof on the main house, that's $4,200, right? So I'm like, hey, dude, just come up another $1,200. You can, you know, untie these, you know, couple $100,000 of your own cash money that you have tied up in this one asset, right? Mm-hmm. And you can still make more than you were originally wanting to make, right? Nope, not having it. Not having it at all. So when it comes to working with clients like this, right, we cannot, as a real estate broker, as a lender, you know, as a title insurance company, as anyone that participates in your real estate transaction, we cannot be more motivated to sell your property for you than you are, so or to true. Help you purchase a property, right? But what he's failing to understand is no buyer is going to be able to get insurance on this property with the roof being shot the way that it is. You know, and a main concern that he has is, well, any roofing contractor that goes out there is going to tell me that the whole roof needs to be replaced, because that's what roofers do. And they're in the business of getting business, which I do understand. You right. know, I ran a GC company before I got into real estate, and I can tell you right now, yes, we want to replace everybody's roof right. all the time, 100%.
Yeah, but it seems like if it first stemmed from the inspection, that is a neutral third party that tells you it's got to happen.
Totally.
And, you know,
totally.
It sounds like to me you just got.
And we've had three roofers out at this point, okay?
I think you just have an ego case, unfortunately, and those guys feel like they need to win somehow. And, you know, those are the clients that sometimes it is just the best thing to part ways.
100%.
You never know, but. I remember being early in my career and never even being able to fathom like firing a client. Oh man, right. I got to make work for everybody and always apologizing. And it sure is empowering when you get to the point of being like, no, my time and my energy is, and my stress levels have value and they're not worth this. And right. we need to go our separate ways. And I've done that with a ton of clients in the last few years. And I'm sure you have too, that yep. I just say, hey, we don't align. What's important to you is not aligning with the way we do business. And I think yep. you're going to be a better fit elsewhere.
And so that's the point that I want to get at, right? What you just brought up, right? And I'm going to highlight it. Firing a client.
Yeah,
okay?
Definitely.
Here's the thing. If you want to work with a really good real estate broker, a really good lender, a really good whatever that might be, right? They're not going to work with, for lack of a better word, an a-hole.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like they won't work with you because they don't need your business. They're mm-hmm. not pining for your business. They don't have to put up with your crap. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you being a total unreasonable jerk, right? And an impossible client to have, like realtors, lenders, people in business in any industry who produce can actually pick and choose who they work with. Right.
Absolutely.
So what this guy is doing right now, right, is going to screw him out of the ability to work with a good broker.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And it's going to screw him out of the ability to free up the several hundred thousand dollars that he has over what is it's $1,200 now at this point, over $1,200.
Yeah.
Okay?
This guy needs a lesson on opportunity costs.
Woo,
because
baby.
I think he is already way in the hole if he would have looked at his opportunity costs from that first deal until now of his money sitting. And what he could have had versus
right.
what he's going to probably end up with.
So when it comes to looking for a good broker, a good lender, a good person to work with in absolutely any profession, any industry, who's producing? Okay. And I always like to look at who's producing and how much they are producing. Like, do they have time to actually allocate towards you and your transaction and the betterment of your goals, right? To help you meet or exceed your goals, right? Do they have the time? If you're looking at working with an agent that produces, you know, 90 transactions a year by themselves, do they really have the time to help you through a complicated transaction?
Right.
Nah. Are they overly motivated?
Probably not. But if they really are by themselves with no help, probably not.
Correct.
That's always so hard as you're talking about that. It's, you know, they're the production definitely tells a chunk of the story because it means they've got reps, they know what they're doing, but there's still such a discrepancy even at the same levels of production. You know, there's lenders doing the same amount we are, but they're working 15 hours a day. I can't imagine they're on their A game. They're trying to manage every detail.
Right.
I don't know how they could at that level.
Right.
You know, if you just looked at our volume, people might think, oh, they don't have time to talk to me. They're doing 100 loans a month. When in reality, we have a lot of really smart people that specialize in certain avenues, and we're all really good at the portion that we own and handle. And so people are still getting quick responses, top-notch service. They're closing quick and easy, even though we've got a lot of loans because we're using the help. So, but I think you're nailing it. Yeah, if someone who's not utilizing help at that high volume,
you've got to find your healthy balance, right?
Absolutely.
Do you produce a lot to where you're not going to push me in towards a house that I shouldn't buy, I don't want to buy, that doesn't meet my needs, so you can pay your own bills, right?
Right.
Or do you produce too much to where when I call you, you're not going to answer, you're not going to help me through a complicated transaction? Because we both know real estate gets complicated out of the blue, right? Mm-hmm. It'll hit you like a bus.
Absolutely.
Maybe a freight train. I mean, you know, it can be a disaster, right? So you want to look at somebody that is experienced, that is actively working in that industry, right? Rather than just simply and only delegating it out, because how are they staying up to speed, you know?
Absolutely.
And do they have the time to work for you is another key point that I think is worth bringing to the table. But, you know, you don't ever want to be the impossible client. If you want to get top-notch service, like, build your relationships with your team to last a lifetime, you know, and don't be your own worst enemy. Don't be your own worst friend here, you know, and do understand that your real estate broker or even your lender, like, it is our job to present you with every option you have and consequences of those options,
absolutely,
good or bad. Right.
I always say my job is to take all the info and spit out your different options with the positives and negatives of each. Take the high level info and break it down really simply, and then let you decide what's best for you and your family, to decide what's going to fit you guys the best. Because although to me this might look like the better option based on your own priorities or life or past experiences, you might like one of the other ones.
Right.
So our goal is to educate and make it simple to empower buyers to make the best decision for themselves.
Right. Right. And that's all my clients too, across the board. But, you know, it is not our job to be your best friend and tell you what you want to hear. If you are working with a lender or working with a real estate broker that is telling you what you want to hear, okay, you need to work with somebody else, right? They need to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, right? They need to be a good sounding voice of reason and logic and help guide you through the process, right? And if they're not, find somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you nailed it. And so I think that, just circling back to what you were talking about before, I mean, you don't want to be that difficult client. We all have bad days. We all have interactions with people working in different places that we probably want to take back. I know I do, where I'll be grumpy to someone. I'm like, that's not their fault. What am I doing? And you want to take it back. But especially when you have a relationship with a lender or an agent that you're speaking to consistently, you can have a bad day. Everybody gets a pass.
Right.
You know? But apologize, make water under the bridge and try to not be that person consistently, because you are going to get so much more value for yourself if you can be someone that we enjoy talking to, that we want to educate, that we want to help. I know that I shine best when I've got a client like that, someone who wants to learn, is appreciative and asking questions. I pour so much more into them. I end up spending extra time on calls, shuffling things around to help them out, because we appreciate
that so
much.
I'll answer your call, because I know we're going to have an adult conversation rather than get yelled at for something I didn't do because you decided to get in your own way, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's unbelievable. So that's the thing. Like, people ask me all the time, do you like being a real estate broker? Well, my answer always is, it depends on who I'm working with, you know? And they say that real estate, weddings, funerals, most stressful times of your entire life, right? Mm-hmm. And under stress, under pressure, we see the best, we see the worst come out in people. And in a lot of ways, I think being a real estate broker, you're kind of like a therapist, right?
You are.
Or maybe a babysitter if they've got kids on a showing, right? I mean, you're a lot of different things. You have to be very adaptable. But at the end of the day, like, your real estate broker needs to have your best interest at heart, and that is going to be telling you what you don't want to hear.
Absolutely. And I think they can only have your best interest at heart if you are, like you're saying, being open to it.
Yeah.
If you're at least trying to understand or be a part of it. Doesn't mean you can't get frustrated. Doesn't mean you can't be angry at times or ask tough questions, but it does mean that at the end of the day, there needs to be mutual respect
yep.
and trust. And like you said, we can have adult conversations.
So my client, to finish off, tells me, he's like, you're just trying to get me to take this offer and give them this money so you can get it back under contract and get your commission. I was like, honestly, I would rather give you this listing and walk away, you know, because yeah. I don't need this kind of stress in my life, mm-hmm. you know, and
you'll
a good
go get three clients at the yeah. same time that you'd spend dealing with him.
Exactly. And a good entrepreneur, a good agent, a good professional, anyone understands that. So build your relationships to last a lifetime. When it comes to vetting your team, make sure that you look at their production rate and, you know, is it too much? Is it too little? Are they experienced enough? Are they actively practicing? You know, are they actively practicing in that area? Can they help you? So on and so forth.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And we see it with lending a lot where we'll get a quote that we're competing against. And right away, I'm like, you really want to use this guy? He doesn't know the Paso County VA appraisal fee. You know, it's wrong. It's standard and set for VA. It's been the same for 4 years. He doesn't yeah. know it. You know, his title fees are way off. Like, okay, yeah, I'm beating this guy or the Good same, luck. But he also obviously has no clue what he's got. He's got a termite inspection on here that's not required in Colorado, you know, and so we see it often as well. And yep. I'm proud to say that I think both of us are in a great happy medium that we get a lot of reps, yeah. we have a lot of experience, but we still have time to really look out and take care of our people.
100%, and it's because we make the hard choice of choosing who to work with.
Yep,
that absolutely. We actually have the time to work with people who are worth working with, because I love helping people into their dream home or helping them achieve or meet or exceed their goals. I know that you do too.
Yeah, that's what it's all about for us. It's getting them in that dream home and also helping them make smart decisions to create yeah. wealth for themselves and their family and, right. and future generations. I mean, it's an incredible way to do that. We want to be there to help make that happen, but it's got to be a team effort. And if somebody is sabotaging the team like your fun client, then it's yeah. just never going to work.
And you know what? I won't ever be more motivated than you.
No doubt.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of SubSell's Show. I'm your host, Seven Murdoch, with the one and only Chris Frankmont, Guaranteed Rate. We will see you guys next week.